Today is a great day to be baptized, to be part of the baptism experience, and to renew our baptismal vows. Asher Douglas Foreman and Natalie Clara Marie Bowles are being baptized, which means they are being united with God through Christ in the power of the Spirit this day and forever. That sounds pretty good, right? But what does it mean? It will mean many things for them. We can't really know all that it will mean, because being a Christian, as we understand it in this church, is to be a person who is engaged in our world with the dream of God in mind, but firmly grounded in the circumstances of life. Jesus asks Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answers, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Excellent, Peter, excellent. You rock. You rocked it. You are the rock on which I will build my church. And what you do, Peter, will matter. What you hold on to and what you let go, it will matter." Even then, even with Peter, Jesus speaks of living the faith. It is not just proclaiming in words or believing ideas, but it is about living our faith, living as followers of the way of Jesus in the circumstances in which we find ourselves day in and day out. I've been away for the last two Sundays on vacation in New Mexico. It was great to have time off and see my family, but I missed being with you during these weeks, as these weeks have contained so much that caused me to reflect upon what it means to be a Christian in this time, in these circumstances. I grew up in Charlottesville, right outside the town in Albemarle County. I graduated from Western Albemarle High School. Then I went back to Charlottesville for graduate school. I have walked up and down the lawn many times, that beautiful green space at the center of Thomas Jefferson's vision for education. I actually still have a poster from those years, one of Thomas Jefferson saying that democracy only works if people have some level of education. Seeing the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis walk down our lawn with torches, chanting anti-Semitic and generally racist and hateful words about everyone not like them, it was chilling. It was horrible, sickening. Later, I learned that a local synagogue, a rabbi, and the members of his community were together that night. They could hear the chanting as those neo-Nazis marched down the street on their way to the lawn. Just imagine what that was like for them. The last time Nazis felt emboldened by government support, and I'm not saying that our government did this, but those people did feel emboldened and supported. Well, the last time something like that happened, it led to a little thing called World War II. 6 million Jews were murdered, as well as 5 million undesirables, undesirable according to Hitler. And those undesirables were people, many of whom a lot like you and me, poets, academics, thinkers, gay people, adults with special needs, people with physical disabilities, people who just didn't look like Hitler and others thought they should look and be. The last time such hate became emboldened and embodied, a whole generation of young men and young women, really our entire country, sacrificed to defeat hate and greed. We call those people heroes for a reason, heroes of that generation, those who stood up to hate then, the greatest generation, we call them. And a couple of weeks ago, those who stood up to hate in Charlottesville, they were heroes to me. When faced with such evil, we all have to decide, what will we do? Will we fight back, and how will we fight back? How will we respond if faced with a similar situation? Nonviolent protest is always my first choice. And certainly we never want to demonize any person, as all people are created in God's image. But naming evil for what it is and the destruction it causes or wishes to cause, we need to do that. Now, what happened in Charlottesville, of course, was not the same as what happened in Nazi Germany. Not yet. But the hate was the same, and we need to name that. We need to address it. We can't just forget that that happened a couple of weeks ago. The Tiki Torch people knew what to do. You remember the white supremacists and neo-Nazis used tiki torches as they walked through Charlottesville that Friday night chanting their hate. The company issued this statement: Tiki brand is not associated in any way with the events that took place in Charlottesville and are deeply saddened and disappointed. We do not support their message or the use of our products in this way. Our products are designed to enhance backyard gatherings and to help families and friends connect with each other at home in their yard. That's sweet, isn't it? That's just very sweet. And that is an organization that knows how to be clear, clear about their allegiances and about their mission. I pray that we can always be so clear about our allegiances and our mission. When I was in New Mexico, one of the Sunday sermons I heard addressed the events in Charlottesville, and I thanked the preacher afterward. He thanked me and indicated that some might not want him to preach about such matters, to which I replied, "Jesus addressed the issues of his time." And in our gospel for today, Jesus tells Peter that we will have to do the same. Following Jesus in our time means addressing the important matters of our day, declaring who we stand with and who we don't, what we loose and what we bind. We need to be clear. We need to state that as the Episcopal Church and as this church, Holy Comforter, we denounce all hate, all racism, all anti-Semitism, discrimination of every kind. We stand with the people of every race and ethnicity. We stand with people of all sexual orientations and gender identities, including, and I'll say this for myself, but I believe many of you agree with me, including our transgender troops who just want to serve our nation like every other soldier wants to serve. We need to be clear. We need to speak out, and we need to act. It is a really good time for baptisms. For in the service of baptism, we are reminded about whose we are and who we are, and what that can mean as we live our lives in the world. Baptism is full initiation into the church. Baptism makes a person a member of the church, this church and the church universal. Being a member of the church does not mean that one is bound by a set of doctrines or rules. In my mind, that is not what it's about, but that rather one is freed and supported to live life to the fullest. Last Monday in the U.S., we experienced a total eclipse from the West Coast to the East Coast. This is what is called, somewhere in the area called, and I love this phrase, the path of totality. And others flocked to the path of totality because it was there that the total eclipse happened. And that's where you want to be. People described it as amazing. People cheered. They were speechless. They hugged. This natural phenomenon brought us together as a nation. Why? Because it was something that happened to everyone to some extent. It was so much bigger than any one person or any one group. And people are longing for that sort of connection, for experiences that bring us together, experiences that are about love and joy, unity. And we desire that. We desire as much of it as we can get. And you don't have to teach anyone to desire that. Created in God's image, every person at their core wants peace and joy. All people created in God's image are the beloved of God, of every religion, of every creed. For those of us who choose the Christian path, the way of Jesus, baptism puts us in the path of totality. It is the full deal. Everything is given to us, the keys to the kingdom and the responsibilities that go with that, the responsibilities to loose and to bind. In our baptismal vows, which will be made on behalf of Asher and Natalie by their parents and godparents, and which we will renew, these vows give us guidelines how to do this, how to live our faith, how to loose and how to bind, what we want to hold on to and what we want to let go. We are what some call a missional church. We have a mission. We are the church, as opposed to being a consumer church where we come only to receive, where instead of being the church, we go to church. Just going to church is not going to be enough. It never has been. We are called to be the church, to be about joy and peace and love and justice. That is the good news that we proclaim, that such things are possible, that every person is deserving of those things in life. Being the church, living the baptismal vows, that is what we are about. That is what Asher and Natalie become part of today. We seek and serve Christ and all persons when we respond to human need and when we stand up for those who are being oppressed. We promise to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. All that we will promise to do today, we will promise to do with God's help, knowing that God will help us and we will help each other live into these vows. We promise to be the church for each other and our neighbors. After seeing our lawn at UVA covered with hate, it was so healing a few days later that Wednesday night that over 1,000 people showed up on the lawn with candles, holding a vigil for peace. Candles are used in our service today, and in this baptismal service, both Asher and Natalie will receive a candle right after they're baptized, symbolizing the life of Christ within them, that the flames of love and justice will be burning within them, symbol of God with us, this flame guiding us to peace and justice. In 2011, the Episcopal Church put out an anti-racism training manual entitled Seeing the Face of God in Each Other. This can be found online. It is over 200 pages long, so be careful before you push print. In it, there is a creed of affirmation, which spells out in language that is current for us, what the creed we will say today means, what it might mean, what it contains within it when lived in our time. And to share a bit of this creed of affirmation with you, it states, "We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, taking up the cross to seek abundant life for all humanity, to strive for peace and justice with freedom, with justice and with freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come." And a closing prayer from this manual, let us pray. "We pray in fellowship with those from this time and beyond time who have witnessed to your call to community. We covenant with you and each other to be your instruments of justice and reconciliation in this time and in this place. In the name of Christ, who is loving, just, and forgiving, we offer our prayer. Amen."